listen. Hear these words. Let it resonate in your soul. Everything. Everything is possible to him that believes.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, I'm Mark Chobe. Great to be with you again on Straight Talk. And we've been taking a season personally and as a church to be more intentional about prayer. There are groups that are fasting and praying for people to experience spiritual renewal and for other people to encounter Christ. And I'd like to pray for you if you're listening and you know that your life needs to be renewed. So, Father, right now I pray in the name of Jesus for that person that's listening to my words right now. I pray for them specifically, that person who feels like their heart has grown hard towards you, or they have become calloused because they have not listened to your clear voice and obeyed, and they found themselves drifting away. I pray, Spirit of the living God, that you would bring about a spirit of repentance. I pray that they would find themselves being drawn back to you, inevitably drawn back by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would not be able to run, that they would encounter your voice through this radio and through friends and other means, that they would realize that you are chasing after them with your divine love. And so, God, would you grant a spirit of repentance? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that your heart would be drawn close to God during this season. God bless.
Indeed. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Tonight, we are in the second half of Pastor Mark's message called It's Time to Try Again, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Second Chances. Our text will be found tonight in Mark chapter 9. Now, let's get right into the Word with Pastor Mark on tonight's Straight Talk.
And I believe at times before we're going to come clean and before we're going to get a second chance, we have to open up, fling open the doors and say, God, this is my reality. I don't have it all together. And I can put a plastic smile on Sunday and say, bless you. Thank you, Jesus. But inside I'm falling apart. You see, that's the power of the encounter retreats that we've had recently. Because the environment and the setting there is, let's be honest, folks. Let's be honest. And to see men and women at different retreats for the first time being honest about issues in their life that they've struggled with, there's something powerful, healing, liberating about getting up in front of couple hundred people and saying, these are my issues. And there's been times when people have said, I've never told anybody. Or I've been ashamed all my life. Or I've really struggled with this, and tears rolling down faces saying, I have an issue in my life. I've finally come to grips with it. I'm trying to forgive. Trying to release. I have this compulsive behavior in my life. There's something liberating. Oh, it doesn't end there, but it starts there. Because as long as we keep things hidden, as long as we keep things covered up, as long as we have the door of that closet locked, as long as we say that's my shame and I can't deal with it, as long as we don't let people come around it, as long as we paint the door nice and make it look pretty, but say, don't open that door. As long as we do that, there's families that are falling apart on the inside, but they're trying to cover it up on the outside, acting like it's all together. But really, that family's going down the drain quickly, and no one's saying, we are in trouble. There's marriages that are falling apart and that are hanging on by a thread, but they've never been honest with each other and never been honest with God and never been honest with the outside and saying, we will not make it except we have divine intervention. There's people struggling with addictions that are trying to convince themselves and everybody that they love that they can manage their addiction. That it's not that bad. But really, it's overtaking everything in their life. And you see, I believe we have to be like this man. This man finally came clean before Jesus and wasn't afraid of who saw it and who cared about it. He had to come clean about his problem. And it was embarrassing and hurtful, and other people saw it. But he had to say, I don't really care what other people think, because I need help. And I don't care if other people think less of me. And it doesn't matter to me if other people look down at my son. And I don't care if people say, well, he probably wasn't a good father. It doesn't matter to me, because what really matters to me is I need a second chance for my family, for my son, for our future. So I don't care about images. I don't care about reputation. I don't care about what other people may say or may not say. I want help, and I need healing, and I need it soon. There's something powerful when that happens. There's something that breaks when we come to that point. And the third thing, I think that if you need a second chance in your life, you have to be really willing to do, is you have to be willing to respond to God's challenge with an honest faith response. You see, Jesus approached the Father and begins to speak to him. And the Father says, this is my condition, and this is what's happened. And then the Father says something very interesting to Jesus. He says, if you can. If you look at the Greek translation, the word is, if you have the power. If you have the power, then take pity on us and help us. If you have the power. If you have the ability or the strength or the power to do something. Jesus responds immediately, if I have the power? If I can, did you say? The issue is not God's power. The issue is our ability to believe God for His power. And Jesus says, listen, hear these words, let it resonate in your soul. If you have plugs on your ear, may they penetrate the plugs and go straight to your spirit. Everything is possible to him that believes. If you can believe, it can be possible. Everything is possible to him that believes. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? That if we have faith, it can happen? Exactly. You see, here's the thing. Jesus went on later to explain to them, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You see, faith is the ability to see in the eyes of the Spirit that which has not yet happened, but what we know that God is intending to do. Faith is that ability, it's the assurance, that deposit in our soul, it's the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It's the reality before it's a reality, based in the trust of God, not in positive thinking. It's the deposit of the Spirit of God inside of us that causes us to take action steps. Faith leads us to take action. We can never take action until, first of all, we have faith. It's not works that change us. It's faith that drives us to works. That's what James says. James says, faith without works is dead. In other words, if our faith doesn't lead us to action, then our faith isn't really strong enough. And I love what this father says. Immediately, without hesitating, without pausing, the boy's father jumps in and exclaims in a loud, impulsive voice. The father says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You say, well, that's a contradiction, isn't it? But can you relate to that statement? Can you? I can. Can you relate to the statement that says, hey, I do believe, but you know, help me because I'm not sure I believe enough. Can you relate to that? Have you ever said that? I believe, but you know what? Help me because I'm not sure I really believe enough. I think I see it, God, but it comes and goes. Sometimes I really believe I can change. And then it disappears and I feel like, no, I'll never, it'll never happen. You ever felt that? It's a battle in the spirit. It's a battle between yes and no. The battle between maintaining your faith. See, here's the thing about faith. You don't just capture faith, you have to sustain faith. Because faith ebbs and flows. And it's not just a matter, oh, I had a moment of faith, but you have to sustain that faith. It's got to be beyond just a moment of faith. It has to be a faith that you sustain. It has to be a faith that you feed. You say, I believe it, and I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep believing. I'm glad you had a moment of inspiration and believed 3 years ago for a moment. But my question is, are you going to sustain it? Are you going to keep it? You know, this story of Peter walking on the water is an interesting story to me because when he jumps out of the boat, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, Pete, come on. Peter says, hey, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Jesus says, come on, Peter. Peter, whoa. Hey, I'm walking on water. Defies the laws of gravity through the power of faith. And walks on water supernaturally by the power of faith until he begins to take his eyes off Jesus. And suddenly the natural kicks in and he sees the tempest and the waves and he sees the sea and he starts thinking, you know what? I may drown. And immediately the Bible says he starts sinking. What happened? As soon as he lost his faith, he lost the ability to walk on water because he had faith, but he didn't sustain his faith. Are you tracking with me? Some of you had victory for a little bit of time, but you know what? You lost your victory because your faith was under attack and you didn't hold on to your faith. And so the victory that you had that was so powerful in God, you say, I don't know what happened. For a while, I was doing really good. And then, boom, I just started to sink. You know why? You didn't hold your faith. And how do you lose your faith? You get your eyes off Jesus. You get your eyes on the problem. You start thinking about what can go wrong. You stop believing that you can change. You start focusing on your strength and your desires. And suddenly, your head's bopping up and out of the water. Now you're saying, save me, Jesus.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, It's Time to Try Again. It's from our series called Second Chances, and after tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. But right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Mark, chapter 9 this evening, and tonight's Straight Talk is called, It's Time to Try Again.
And then when you're on the water, you're dry and stuff, you're saying, faith didn't work for me. No, faith worked when you had it, but when you lost it, it couldn't sustain you. Do you understand? It's not just about having faith, it's about keeping faith. And here's the thing, how do you keep your faith? You feed your faith. You see, your faith needs to be fed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is strengthened by the word of God. It is built by the word of God. It is sustained by the word of God. Abraham, when he believed God about things, God said, look at the stars and see them and your children will be like that. And look at the sand. What God was doing with Abraham is he was teaching him how to sustain his faith. He was giving him a mental picture to build his faith so that he could keep his faith for 20, 30 years before the promise came about. Because most of us, it's not a matter of we can never believe. It's a matter of we believe, but then we stop believing. It's a matter of how do I keep and sustain my faith? I believe, Lord, but help me overcome my unbelief, Lord. That's what this father said. It's about being honest. By the way, I just want to encourage you. I don't like plastic Christianity. I don't think God does either. Have you ever read through the Psalms and heard some of the prayers that David prayed? Well, he must have been in the flesh when he prayed this prayer. He says things like, "Oh, you don't hear me, God. You've abandoned me. You've left me. The heavens are brass. Why have you turned your back on me?" You say, "David, can you pray like that? Really?" Yeah. I mean, it's better than saying, "Oh, Lord, who hears all my prayers? I really don't believe you are hearing me. And oh, God, that you're there all the time, but I'm feeling like you're not there." No, it's better to be honest with God. In fact, he was called a man after God's own heart. Don't give me a superficial, generic platitude of a prayer before God. Give me a heartfelt, real, honest prayer before God. That's what God's looking for. And if you don't believe, don't say you do believe. Say, "God, I'm trying to believe, but I'm struggling with it." I think God responds to that. And I know God responds to that because how he responded to this man, he didn't say, "Well, go pray a little bit and get your faith up a little bit before I do anything here." What do you mean, "If I can"? What do you mean you got unbelief? Come on, you go fast 40 days, and then when you're done fasting, then come back to me and we'll talk a little bit. No, God loved the answer of this father. He loved the honesty. He loved the fact that he was struggling, and he came to him honestly and said, "I'm really struggling. I want to believe. Help me, Lord." And the Bible says immediately, look what he says. I love this. It says in verse 24, and immediately the boy says, "I do believe, help me overcome my belief." And then when Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You know he wasn't a televangelist, right? Televangelists wait till the crowd is there and then he'd do it. You see, Jesus is never about the show. He's never about the show. He's about the change and the supernatural power of God. As the crowd's running over there, Jesus, "Hurry, I better do this fast. I command you, you deaf and you mute spirit." Do you know that sometimes we can be afflicted spiritually and our spiritual affliction can actually have physical repercussions on our body? Do you know that? Now, not all physical illness is spiritually induced, but sometimes you can be so oppressed in your spirit that it affects your body. Do you remember in Luke, the woman that was bent over for 18 years? It was a result of a spiritual oppression that she was bent over, and she was delivered from that spiritual oppression. She stood up for the first time straight in 18 years. Do you realize that some of you today, some of the physical illness that you go through oftentimes has its root in a spiritual issue in our life? And you say, "Well, I just struggle with high blood pressure, and I just don't know how to deal with this high blood pressure, and it sends me into panic attacks. I get hyperventilating, and the doctor says what you need is this pill." I'm all for doctors. And you'll never hear me say, "Oh, don't go to the doctor, just go to God." I say, go to God first, then go to the doctor. Do both. But a doctor's going to do what a doctor knows how to do. He's going to treat even spiritual things in a physical way, in a medical way. But let me tell you, the root of your panic attack is not found, the solution is not found in a pill. The deep root of your panic attack has bigger implications. There are soul and spirit implications that need to be dealt with. The spiritual affects the physical. The Bible says that Jesus said, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you." By the way, the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus has authority over everything. Over life, over death, over sickness, over every demonic spirit. and even death itself. The Son of God is not limited in his power. And if the Son of God says rise, then the dead rise, because he has all power. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and all power and dominion and authority has been given to him. So Jesus says, I command you, come out of him, and listen, never enter him again. This is not a temporary deliverance. This is not you do good for 2 months. This is a lifelong deliverance, all of your life, out and never go back again. And you know, the next thing that happens is interesting, because it's so like what happens in our life. And it really leads me to my final point. My final point is you need to realize that deliverance often comes through a painful process. And sometimes when Jesus comes into the picture, things seem to get worse instead of better. Have you ever noticed that? Now, Jesus is in the picture. He commands him. The Father is great. Oh, just what I wanted. And now the boy seems to get worse. Look at what it says. And the spirit shrieked and convulsed him violently. The father had never seen it get that bad. He had never heard a shriek like he heard that day. And he had never seen the boy shake so violently as he was shaking. And now that Jesus is in the picture, the boy is shrieking and he's shaking violently, and it's worse than it ever has been before. And then when it's all finally done, the boy lays there as though he's dead. Well, thanks a lot, Jesus. How many of you know that when God works in our life and you start praying for something to happen, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better? Because it's a painful process, the process of deliverance. My 8-year-old son, boy, you know how some people pray for their kids and they pray, oh God, help them to get good grades and help them. You know, my wife and our prayer for him is, oh, just Lord, keep him alive till he's 12. Lord, help him. By the time he was 5, he had broken 4 bones already and gotten stitches in his head. I mean, this boy. I was kind of nervous to keep taking him back to the same hospital, because I thought they're going to like say, what are you doing to this guy? He plays soccer, broke his leg, and he jumps around, and he's just fearless. Well, this past summer, he broke his knuckle with the help of his brother in an intense sword fight. Those sword fights can be dangerous. And his knuckle was hit so hard that the knuckle part of it actually was forced through the bones so that it came out here. So his knuckle was pushed through the bones and it was like his knuckle was down there. And my wife and I happened to actually, we were on a trip, so we were in a different country, and it happened, but they actually took him to the doctor. He was in Spain. They took him to the doctor, and his knuckle was down there. And they took him to the doctor, and they did not give him anesthesia. My wife refers to it as the barbaric European way. But anyways, the doctor actually took his finger and had to press his knuckle up through the bone to set it back in place. Now, my son has a high pain tolerance for an 8-year-old boy, but he was in pain, and he was shrieking and hollering as they were pushing that knuckle up through his finger. But you know what? When we got here and we did x-rays of it, they said, man, they did a great job at setting this, because before he could experience healing, he had to experience greater pain. Some of you are walking around with a broken spiritual knuckle, but you don't want to go to the doctor, because to fix it means it's going to be, ow, painful.
Please do join us again on Straight Talk as we continue to explore spiritual renewal in our current series called Second Chances. This has been our message called It's Time to Try Again. Tomorrow will be a brand new message called The Way Back Home. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. $5 plus shipping is all we ask for CDs. Pastor Mark's book, Unstuck, is also available, and those are only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicago. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of the Straight Talk family. Have a great night, and God bless.